want to thank everybody tonight for being on our call. We're very grateful to have you on our call, Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. I want to say to everyone on the call, and especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are very honored guests. And we're thankful that you've chosen to listen in tonight as our speaker will speak from the Bible. In the Churches of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And we know you've joined us because, like us, our desire is to make heaven our home. So let's go to God in prayers before we study his word. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your many blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who you sent to this world, and he came and lived among men. And he did no wrong, knew no wrong. But they crucified him and executed him on the cross. In Jerusalem, on a hill called Calvary. And there the blood was shed. That will wash mankind's sins away. And there he would purchase his bride, his wife, his church, known as the Church of Christ. Lord, be with our listening audience tonight, that they may receive with meekness your engrafted word, for it's able to save their souls. We pray for our speaker tonight, that you would be with him as he delivered to us your word without addition or subtraction. We love you and we thank you for all you've done for us and are doing for us and will continue to do for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Tonight, I'm very excited. Our speaker, Brother Brandon Starling, is a powerful young man, 30 years old, married with four children, serves at Swan Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas. And I'm proud to introduce to you all tonight, Brother Brandon Starling. And Brother Brandon will do a fine job tonight, I know. We're going to let Brother Brandon come in his own way. Brother Brandon was speaking about the subject, the truth about the true worship. Brother Brandon.
Amen. It is always truly a blessing to declare the word of God, and I appreciate Brother Brooks and Brother Flounder, definitely true faithful brothers in the Lord's church. To get straight to the point, my topic, the truth about worship. The truth about worship. Coming from John chapter 4, the gospel according to John chapter 4. God bless all those who are on the line, wherever you're at, wherever state you're in, wherever city you're in. We're so thankful that you are listening in, and I hope and pray that you open up your Bible and take notes to hear the book, chapter, and verse. And when you're getting the book, chapter, and verse, you're hearing what thus said the Lord. The gospel according to John, chapter 4, starting with verse 20. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The thought we want to deal with from that text in connection to our title, the title of the lesson, which is the truth about worship, we want to deal with this thought. In spirit. In most churches of Christ and in a lot of different places, individuals talk about this in spirit statement. And most of the time it is referred to one having the right attitude in worship, which is true, yet it is much deeper. The statement has much deeper implications than just the right attitude. So let's talk about this thought of one worshiping God in spirit and how it connects to salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is an evangelistic outreach. This is a gospel meeting. And so we want to keep that thought and understand how important this statement is. First, let me just briefly give a breakdown as we build up to that statement. Now, in verse 20, as the Samaritan woman is talking with Jesus, she says, "Our fathers worship on this mountain." And of course, we understand that the Samaritans are half-breed Jews, as the northern kingdom was carried into Assyrian captivity, and the Assyrian Empire would leave some individuals in Samaria, and they would mix them with different countries or areas that they had captured or conquered. So they would leave some people in the city and then drop some people off that they had conquered. And what happened in the city of Samaria, they had mixed, and they were known as the Samaritans. Sometimes the Jews called them dogs. It was always a feud between those two. So he said, so she's saying our fathers worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. Now, you Jews, notice how you Jews say, you know, okay, you're saying we ought to worship in Jerusalem. That's where you're saying. Jesus says in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when," notice this, "you are neither on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." These locations won't matter. But notice Jesus said, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship." Understand this. Salvation is of the Jews. Now, notice how Jesus just connected salvation and worship. He says salvation is of the Jews, meaning salvation has its origin in the Hebrew Israelites or the Jewish people. The scriptures themselves came through the Hebrews or the Jewish people. And so when it comes down to worship and when it comes down to salvation, we have to respect Jewish origins. Jesus himself was a Jewish man of the tribe of Judah, and even Paul himself was a Hebrew Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. And one thing we know about the Jews is that when the law of Moses was given, there was a system of worship set up which importantly involved the tabernacle. The tabernacle had the holy place and the most holy place. And the most holy place was separated from the holy place by a veil. Now, the Levite priest could enter the holy place, but only the high priest could enter into the most holy place once a year during the Day of Atonement, what they call Yom Kippur. Now, look at verse 23 and keep in mind that tabernacle. Now, Jesus said, now, we know what we worship. They have an understanding of God. God revealed himself to Israel. The Old Testament was written to Israel. He came out down on Mount Sinai and revealed himself to Moses, an Israelite, saying, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, Exodus 34. So they know God. They understand God. They know how to worship God. And they know this, that it is connected to salvation. Let's keep going. Verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the underlying true worshipers will worship the Father." Notice how they will worship him, these true worshipers. That whole thought of true worshipers is an adorer. An adorer. One who regards another individual in high esteem. You love and respect and honor, and you pay divine honor to this individual. You are an adorer. I adore you, Lord. I love you. You are a true, authentic worshiper. And this person that is a true, authentic worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now, the Father is seeking such to worship him. He is seeking worshipers that are true adorers, that literally are in spirit, and they have the truth as they are in spirit. Now, one must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, watch verse 24. Here we go. God is spirit. Now, God is linking verb spirit. He does not have flesh and blood. Stay with me. All of this is going to connect to salvation. God is spirit. He does not have flesh and blood. Now, those who worship him, those who desire to pay homage and bow down before him, must, imperative, it is an obligation to worship him, and this is the part we want to deal with. We must, this is the only way he can be worshipped, in spirit. Now, and truth, but before you can get to the truth, before you can worship him in truth, you have to first worship him in spirit. Now notice how the Holy Spirit did this, as John recorded the words of Jesus. So God is spirit, does not have flesh and blood. And if you can recall in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, where Jesus answered, said to Simon Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He says, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Peter had made that great confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus says, now flesh and blood did not reveal it to you. Who revealed it? My Father. The Father is spirit. He has never had flesh and blood. Now, something else about God. God is eternal. Now, that's coming from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. God is eternal. Something else revealed about God is God is immortal. So God doesn't have a beginning or an end. God is immortal. He cannot die. And it also reveals to us that God is invisible. Why is all this important? Because of the fact that mankind is made in the image of God. Now, God is spirit. When God made man, remember that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, Genesis 2, 7. And he says at the end, and man became a living soul, that which animates the body. So when God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, there was a body, but the body had no life in it. But when he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. Now understand that the word soul and spirit can be used interchangeably, meaning it can mean the same thing depending on the context. So God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. It can be properly said, must worship him with your spirit, with who you truly are coming from within. Now this is an interesting thing. God does not allow flesh and blood to approach him. Stay with me. This is not about the body being before God. It is about the soul or the spirit being before God. Now, God is eternal, and mankind now, we have a beginning, but watch it. Made in the image of God, now we have an eternal soul. God is immortal. He cannot die. Now, we separate from our bodies, but watch this. The soul cannot die. And God is invisible. And guess what? We have a soul that we have never seen. For us, it's invisible. So we have to worship God with our soul. Now, this presents a huge problem. What is the problem? Our souls have been tainted or stained with sin. Oh, boy. So, yes, the Father is seeking such to worship him. And, yes, it is in spirit and in truth. But first, the spirit, the soul, has to get right with God. Because there's a big, big problem with the soul or the spirit of mankind. So as we think about this thought in spirit, it has several implications. And one of the main implications is that the soul has to be pure, free from sin. The only problem with the main problem with this thought of worshiping in spirit is that you can't worship God if that spirit or that soul is stained with sin. Understand what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59. Let's understand the condition of mankind. Isaiah 59, I'm going to push to verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. Understand this. Iniquities separate us from God. Because of sin, God has hid his face from us, and he refuses to hear our prayers. So he can't hear sinner's prayer because the sinner is in sin. There's a separation. Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 in the verses 4, as God had to set the record straight about a particular matter, in Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4, behold, watch how he says this, behold, all souls are mine. You belong to God. All souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul, underline this, the soul that sins, it shall die. So when you committed your first sin, when I committed my first sin, we were spiritually dead to God. The word die, dead, means a separation. When you committed your first sin, when I committed my first sin, we were dead to God. Spiritually speaking, we were walking in our bodies, talking, eating, drinking, but dead. The spirit or soul dead. Now, the horror in this is John 8:21. The gospel according to John chapter 8, verse 21, where Jesus said, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So when a person dies as a sinner, Jesus says, now, you cannot go to heaven. You cannot enter paradise. He's not talking about the body. He's talking about that soul. That soul left the body as a sinner. So we're not talking about body. We're talking about soul. Now, what happens is the soul can control the body, or the body will have authority over the soul, meaning one can be living in the flesh, living according to the desires of the body. And when you live that way, you're separated from God. God don't hear your prayers. You're dead to God. And if you die, you can't go to heaven. It gets deeper in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Notice what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were, underlined, without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That is the condition of all Gentiles and Jews. But as Paul was addressing the Gentile, dominant Gentile congregation, but this whole scripture truly in essence applies to the sinner. You're without Christ. You're aliens from the commonwealth. You're non-participants. You're not citizens. You're strangers from the covenants of promise. You don't have God's promises. Having no hope, you cannot expect any good to come from God. And then he says, without God in the world. In essence, without Christ, aliens from God, strangers to God, no hope, and without God. In Romans 3:23 sums it up like this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, how is it that we can worship God in spirit when the spirit or the soul that has sin stained on it or has been stained by sin is separated, dead, estranged from God? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Luke chapter 24, this is God's plan. First, he has to get the soul right. He has to cleanse that soul in order for the soul to be able to approach it. Now, Luke 24, verse 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ, watch it, to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Jesus had to suffer. There's a teaching in Islam that says that when the Christ was on the cross, that actually his spirit was outside his body. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Christ, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer. He was beaten. He had a crown of thorns. They put the cross beam on him, led him up that hill called Golgotha, and they nailed him down to the cross, hand and feet, and they mocked him, and he gave up the ghost on that cross. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Now watch this in verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Wait a minute. Jesus says, I had to suffer, I had to die, I had to rise from the dead 3 days later. This was the reason that repent means to have a change of mind, turn from the lifestyle that you have been living. And watch it, and remission of sins, having your sins removed, having your sins forgiven. But watch this, your body is not being cleaned when sins are forgiven. Your soul is being cleansed when sins are forgiven. Come on and let's get the solution to the sin problem in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, and starting with verse 36, as Peter began to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, what Peter is going to say is what the whole world has to do. Then Peter said to them, Acts 2:38, repent. Remember, repentance, have a change of mind, and let every one of you be baptized, fully immersed underwater in the name of Jesus Christ. That's by his authority. Now, watch what the baptism is for. For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, for the remission of sins, meaning when you are fully immersed underwater upon hearing the true gospel of Jesus Christ, when you are fully immersed underwater, that baptism will remove your sins. Now, there's no power in the water alone. We're not preaching that. But we're preaching what the Bible says, that by faith, when I hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm immersed in water by faith, that my soul will contact the blood. We're not taking baths in the water. We are cleansing. We're having our souls cleansed. We're having the spirit cleansed. Now, look at verse 41. Then those who gladly received this word were baptized, and that they about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 souls have had their souls or their spirit cleansed, washed. Their souls are free from sin. Their souls are no longer tainted with sin. Now, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Remember, we started off this whole thing talking about that statement in spirit. These individuals that have had their sins removed by being fully immersed underwater for the remission of sins upon hearing the true gospel of Jesus Christ, they have been cleansed from their sins and added to the house of God. Now, remember, God, he's seeking true worshipers, but the key part is the true worshiper has to worship him in spirit. My friends, they can now worship God in spirit. Why? Because they can approach him. They worship God with their spirit because the spirit is now acceptable in the sight of God. Why is the spirit acceptable in the sight of God? Because the sin is removed. This is the glory of God. God wants to remove your sins so that you can approach him, so that your worship will be acceptable. Let's get deeper. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 19. Now, we started off talking about how Jesus says salvation is of the Jews, and this whole thought of salvation is also connected with worship, because once you get the salvation part right, then you can worship God, because you're going to approach God with your soul or with your spirit. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, he broke down the whole thought about that old earthly tabernacle, and then he reminded us in Hebrews 9 that, okay, Jesus, he has passed through the heavens. He is in heaven, in the holy place, in heaven. Now, watch this, Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, watch it, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So now that the soul has been washed in the blood, God says, now you can approach me. Now you can enter. Under the Old Testament, remember, only the high priest could enter the most holy place. But because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God is allowing all saints, all who have obeyed the gospel, to enter into the most holy place, to come down, to come up and bow down before him. So when the first day of the week comes, we are not just in a building. We have ascended with our spirits into the most holy place by the blood. Watch it in verse 20, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil. Watch this. That is his flesh. See, I'm in the body now, and I enter the throne room of God, the most holy place, through Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that's a worship text, and that I can't forsake the assembly because I'm not going into the most holy place. See, now that I've been washed in the blood, I can approach God, and I'm worshiping him now in spirit. And when my soul is cleansed, now I can present myself before God. Well, some people may say out there, well, I'm a little afraid because I feel like once I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm still going to fail. Don't worry, God got you covered. He has what's called the second law of pardon to make sure your spirit stays right. In 1 John chapter 1, you're not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. So God, watch this. This is beautiful. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And watch this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. God says, okay, I removed your old sins. Now, I know you're going to have some problems during this Christian journey. You're going to slip and fall here and there, but just stay on the right track and watch this. The blood continually cleanses. And look at down at verse 9 of 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he's talking to Christians here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Look at the blessings of God and the goodness of God. God says, I remove your old sins to keep you. I remove your old sins so you can approach me. And I will continue to remove your sins as you're on the Christian journey. That so when you slip and you fall, you repent and you confess. And watch this. God is faithful and just to forgive. People will remember, but once you repent and confess, God will no longer remember. He cleanses you from your sins. He washes you in the blood over and over and over again. And that is the blessing of God. He wants to keep the soul. He wants to keep the spirit clean and free from sin so that we can abide in his presence and always worship him, starting off in spirit. Now watch this. In truth, there's a pattern. Hold fast the pattern of sound words, 2 Timothy 1:13. The pattern, the New Testament pattern says, sing a cappella, preaching, praying, giving, partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Now watch this. When David worshiped God with those instruments under the Old Testament, he never brought it in the holy place. That stuff was done outside the tabernacle, outside the temple. So we are in the reality where we approach God with our spirit, with our souls. And so we don't bring anything from the world. We bring a soul that has been washed in the blood. And that soul, as long as it stays washed and clean through life by repentance and confession as a child of God, that soul can continue to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. There's somebody out there. God is seeking you. He wants you to approach his throne continually. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to be a father to you, but you have to have your sins removed. You see, they heard the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then you must be willing to repent. Luke 13:3-5, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you're willing to repent, you must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice, he didn't say that the confession saves. He said one believes unto righteousness. That's like a person that walked up to a door of the building but didn't come into it. And he said, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Walked up to the door but did not come into it. So you have to make the confession, but it is the baptism that brings you into Christ. Galatians 3:26-27 says, for you are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, that confession brings you unto, but he says the baptism, it brings you into Christ, and then you are in the body. And remember Acts 2:38, when Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the removal of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if there's a child of God, you've been discouraged because you had some slips and you had some falls. Remember, we have to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death and I shall give thee the crown of life. Once we were baptized and added to the church, we have to continue. And being faithful also implies this. Remember, you can Repent and confess your sins and get back up and finish this race. Don't let Satan cause you to waddle in your mistakes. Get up, keep running this race, and keep your mind on Jesus and worship him in spirit and in truth. And for a child of God that's dealing with the burdens of life, especially in our day and age, remember 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I pray, I hope and I pray that some soul that has never obeyed the gospel will realize that God is seeking after you, and he wants to get your spirit right by washing you in the blood through obedience to the gospel, so that you can always be in his presence, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. God bless you, and to God be the glory.
Thank you, Brother Starling. We really appreciate that message, and I'm sure that all of us on the call want to be true worshipers. And I pray there's somebody on the call tonight that did not understand. You have made it real clear that being washed in the blood of the Lamb will bring our soul to a cleansed and a purified state, that we may enter the Holy of Holies. What a powerful message. We want to say to our visitors who are on the call tonight, not members of the Church of Christ, have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we want you to get back with the person who invited you to this call and tell them you want to be washed. You want your soul to be purified, cleansed, that you may approach God and he will hear your prayer. He'll add you to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. Tell them you want to get baptized or a Bible study. If you want more information, get back with the person who put you in a call and let us study with you, or email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will arrange the Bible class. No matter what state you're in, we'll find a brother that will study with you, coming to your home in love. And we speak in the truth in love. This whole month, we brought speakers on to talk about true worship. And certainly we believe that God has given us simple instructions that if we believe the Bible, we too can make heaven our home. If you want to go back and listen to this message again, you can go to our website at HowlandHeightsCoc.net. That's HowlandHeightsCoc.net. We're very thankful to have so many on the call. We are averaging 1,600 to 1,800 per call, and that is the numbers that we can count, and we believe that's a conservative number, that often there are many more listening to one line that we cannot get an accurate number, but we know this estimate is a little low, but we're just so thankful to have everyone on the call tonight. Say to our brothers and sisters in Christ, continue to invite your friends and family, loved ones, and those you know to hear these basic sermons on salvation. And we thank you, and we pray everyone will be prayerful for our effort as we reach out to a nation of people who are lost and going to die in their sins. And we don't want that to happen. We want to be in that number. I want to be in that number. I've been in the water. I've been to the blood. I'm washed in the blood, and I'm thankful that that continuing power, cleansing power of blood, keeps me into a relationship with God. And so we thank you so very much, Brother Brandon. Again, he's a student, a graduate of the Memphis School of Preaching. We some sound brethren coming out of the school. We're very thankful. At this time, we're going to bring on my co-host, Brother Flunder. He will give us the lineup of the upcoming speakers. Brother Flunder.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and thank you, Brother Starling. For tomorrow night, the speaker closing out this third week of this nationwide gospel meeting call will be Brother Robert Harper, Sr. from Houston, Texas, speaking from the topic, The Truth About the Few. On tomorrow night, we'll also announce our lineup for week four of this nationwide gospel meeting call for the month of May, 20 speakers, 20 sermons, and 20 days. At this time, Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. And again, let's thank Brother Starling for an excellent lesson on tonight. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for your manservant on tonight. You taught us, dear Lord, from your word regarding worship. We pray for those that are on the call that are seekers, dear Lord, that they'll open up their hearts to those things that were taught, so that they can render obedience to your word. We thank you for all your blessings on tonight. Thank you again for those that are members supporting this message. We just thank you for all your blessings on this evening. This prayer we offer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Let's all say amen.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. Thank you, Brother Flunder. Thank you, Brother Starling. If you desire a Bible class or to be baptized, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. May God bless each of you. Have a good night's rest.